You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Guys, bonus episode time. Spider-Man Homecoming bonus episode. How's it going? I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out in the Crespediso studio. Thank you very much. We are doing the bonus spoiler episode thing. That means we're talking about all the movie deets, all the plot twists, who lives, who dies, who goes to jail, etc., etc. in Spider-Man Homecoming. Beware of what you are about to hear.
Everybody lives, Chris. Even the guy who I thought died, and I was like, whoa! Did they just fucking totally off that guy? And then he came back at the end.
That's crazy, yeah. Was not expecting that, because he did take a car to the face.
Yeah. Straight to the face. And then that happened while he was in the water, so chances are dead and drowned.
Yes. Was he in front of the boat or at the back of the boat?
Was the back of the boat. Back of the boat.
Right. I thought for a second it was in front of the boat. The guy from Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Spanish dude. Bald Spanish guy.
Chris, you're being slightly racist against your own people.
That's a guy, he's not my people, I think he's Mexican. Well, we're talking about Spider-Man Homecoming, it's a spoiler bonus episode. Turn away if you were afraid of the spoilers or deets. If you've already seen the movie, welcome. What did you think? Email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. We'll read your review on our show. First off, Did you like it, Drew? Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Rank the Spider-Man movies at blush, at first blush. I know, you know, these things take a while to sit. All right, first off, let's rank the other Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man's 1 through 3, and then Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. The best of those is, on the count of 3, 1, 2, 3, Spider-Man 2. You're supposed to say your choice.
I'm trying to...
You're supposed to say your thing.
I got a lot of things.
I'll edit it later so it sounds like we say it at the same time.
I got issues with all Spider-Man.
I know
movies.
You have issues. That's why I'm asking you. Just rank them on like a... if you're just going to give me like a...
I mean, yeah, I guess Spider-Man 2.
Would you really?
Definitely the second Spider-Man version 2.
Amazing Spider-Man 2?
Number 2. The one where Gwen Stacy dies.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
That one.
That would be my number 2.
Okay, so you would go Spider-Man 2 with Doc Ock, with Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. Uh-huh. Then The Amazing Spider-Man 2, mm-hmm. in which Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy dies.
Yes.
Okay, how would you then do the other ones?
I guess then Spider-Man 1.
Okay.
The original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 1.
Mm-hmm.
This one. This would be my number 3.
Oh, you already put it. I was going to ask just about the other ones, but you would already put this in there. Okay.
In the top 3, yeah.
Okay.
And then... Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 1.
Okay.
Andrew Garfield Spider-Man 1.
Okay.
Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 3.
Okay. That's a pretty good order. Yeah. I go with that. I might flip part Amazing Spider-Man Part 2 and Spider-Man Homecoming.
What I really enjoyed about Spider-Man Homecoming was the fact that we didn't get another origin story because we've already gotten it so many times. And they glazed over it, which is totally okay.
Well, they did a double glaze because... Yeah. The double glaze.
They did. They did do a double glaze.
I'm kind of hungry. I'm switching down here. What I like about it was how, just like in, was it Captain America Civil War? In Captain America Civil War, they, Spider-Man was already Spider-Man. He was already living with Aunt May. Uncle Ben was already dead. There was no talking about any of that because we already seen it so often. It's lore that's already known. And
then this one, it's later.
It's after that. So what are you going to do? So yeah, once again, it's like his fat friend Ned finds out that
they reference it.
He's like, so you were? He asks him, like, you got bit by a spider. Well, can a spider bite me? And then
he's like, spider's dead. He's like, I mean, and he talks about with everything that happened with Aunt May. You know, aka Uncle Ben dying.
Yes, exactly. And really well done how they like reference those things, but they don't. It's as opposed to every time Batman is in a movie, you have to show him as a kid and his parents being shot. Spoiler alert: Batman's parents were shot and killed in front of him.
That's why he's Batman.
So,
I'm really glad we didn't get that.
Very smart of them. And, let's go ahead and talk about how I was impressed how the movie opened by setting up the bad guy.
Yes.
Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the cleanup crew of the, what do they call it? The incident. New York, right?
Uh-huh.
With the aliens from the Avengers. And, Stark's U.S. Department of Damage Control comes in and takes over the job, and he loses out all that money, but he keeps some alien technology, uses that to make badass weapons to sell to
and Kirk. A vulture suit, so he could be a vulture and just pick up the remnants of alien technology.
They don't even talk about why, he just does it because it looks cool. It's like, it just like goes 8 years later, he has a badass like wingsuit. And his heads up display was just night vision.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right, so it was very very low tech compared to like Iron Man, Spider-Man, because they both have their like
Stark Industries fucking multi-million-dollar suits,
and he just has like an army issue like heads up thing.
Yeah,
and but from the outside with the green, it looks pretty
badass.
It's kind of intimidating actually. Yeah, this guy's kind of scary, but no one ever calls him Vulture though until.
No.
The very,
very
end.
Very, very end.
When Spider-Man leaves note, it just calls him, like, scary vulture guy.
Yeah.
It took an interesting approach.
Which is fun, because we also got...
names, the names of characters.
Because we also got another Spider-Man villain, Shocker. Shocker's in this. He's just random dude, but once I saw...
He's an 80s villain?
Yeah, once I saw the quilted arms, I was thinking to myself, I was like... Are they gonna? And then they called him Shocker, and I was like, ah!
But they did it in a way in which Michael Keaton was like, so Shocker?
No, you're the new Shocker.
He's like, yeah, well, first he's like, you're calling yourself Shocker. What are you, a wrestler? What, you're giving yourself this name? So many people call it, because he has that cool alien punching thing that's like, you can beat up, punch cars, and like, get Spider-Man pretty good with it. The dude played by that guy who's like American, not Tom Hardy.
Yes, American, not Tom Hardy. He was in Prometheus.
And he was in... The Invitation.
Yes.
And he was in something else just recently. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this guy's like, oh, is that Tom Hardy? No, it's not.
It looks like Tom Hardy, but it's not Tom Hardy.
Kind of looks like him, but it's not. And he's like, and so what do you call yourself, the Shocker? And and then he kills him by accident, and sort of. And then he gives the thing to Bokeem Woodbine. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, no, you're a Shocker.
He's like, okay.
Like, ironically, it's like, now you're the Shocker. Like, oh, you know. So it's almost like they're doing it kind of like winking. I don't know. It's an interesting approach. Because outside of the names of the characters, like that thing, it was really just that. And they never, again,
I mean,
scary vulture guy at the very end.
And they allude to Scorpion.
Just by a tattoo, which I totally missed.
Which I saw, I saw the tattoo, and I thought, I was like, really? But. There's no other, like, give to that this guy could possibly be the Scorpion.
What do you mean?
I mean, with the way the MCU changes people's names and ethnicities and blah, 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 to kind of update the universe.
Yeah, they change things around all the time.
You know, there's... Anybody could be anybody.
That's true.
I mean, seriously.
Anybody could be anybody.
In the beginning... You see Peter Parker, like the first scene, you see Peter Parker just walking to school.
Mm-hmm.
There are two people, and one part of it walking in front of them, and one part walking behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a girl with bleach blonde hair about shoulder height. And I'm like, are they introducing Gwen Stacy so early?
Like already right away, boom.
Because that's, you know, I'm thinking Spider-Man lore. And then Peter Parker didn't even talk to that person. We never saw it again.
Mm-mm.
So, You know,
it was all about some character named Liz.
Yes.
Who it's like...
Don't know.
Yeah, who's Liz? Liz is the one they just made up. But so the movie starts with Michael Keaton and set up his whole thing. It's like, well, and he had the whole... It's like the current populist working man sort of... I've been bit by the government, bit by the snake type thing where he sees, and he's making good points too, as a matter of fact, which I'm like, actually, you know what, he's right about some of this stuff. Stark Industries, the Avengers, they helped cause all these problems,
and now they're
right?
getting paid to clean it up.
And then, yeah, Stark's company is getting paid to clean it up, and they take the technology and they're making their advances or whatever, and they're making the money then by selling their weapons to the governments and to whatever, who are then perpetrating wars and stuff. So what's the difference between... big weapons manufacturers like that,
and little ones government manufacturing.
Yes, and little ones selling to guys like Donald Glover, and who else were they trying to sell to? Just a Donald Glover.
Yeah,
he was the only one. Mm-hmm. Who I feel like his character, the two scenes he was in, his like quote actor secret was like, I'm gonna play this guy like he's really high.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure actually he probably just showed up really high.
I don't think so. He's a professional. He could be he knows how to what it's like to be high. Like I can pretend
he should have just showed up high.
That backfires on you because of shooting schedules. Side story, tangent real quick. Platoon, there's a scene where all the platoon guys are hanging on the bunker. Well, there's two groups of them. One group is getting drunk, and one group is just playing cards, and they're being a bunch of dickheads. The other group is getting drunk, smoking weed, and they're working out, and they're just partying, right? And so a bunch of the actors who are actually in that scene, including Willem Dafoe, he's the one who tells the story, he's like, why don't we all just, just blow some grass. That's how he called it, because he's such a corny old man.
Yeah.
He's like, let's pretty much smoke weed before the scene, and then that way we'll really get into a kind of more, quote, method acting, mm-hmm. right? So they smoke a bunch of weed, and then it takes them a long time to like actually get into the scene, get in front of the camera. So by
but then
time
they're all fucking burned out.
They're all burned out and tired, and they're like, yeah. So when you're watching that scene, they're all just like hours of they're smoking a bunch of probably shitty, raggy 70s Vietnam weed. No, Philippines weed. 80s Philippines weed. They're shooting the Philippines right around when there's a revolution. And so
Spider-Man.
There's, I feel like Donald Glover was playing the guy who was stoned, and he was like, felt like, I'm getting the one in there. This is an edgy Spider-Man movie. And they set up all that Vulture stuff in a very smart way. So I felt like I identify with this character. This is a pretty good setup for putting a little more thought into your average superhero movie, I think, when it comes to... Because that's the weak spot when it comes to a lot of these movies.
That's Marvel for you.
But even Marvel, like
Marvel touch?
The Guardians of the Galaxy villain. Who's that guy?
Yeah.
Right, and I feel like they're dropping bombs, real on hardcore since they've introduced them.
Yeah.
Like who's Thanos? Like he's
obsessed with death.
I have no sense of his presence.
He's a crazy Skrull.
It's like I feel like this is one of the better ones. Yeah. I enjoyed the villain in this one and the setup, and then Spider-Man. Okay, so.
So it's very much like your...
I like how it's very high school.
It's very high school, very teen movie, very... Peter Parker is a sophomore. He's in love with a senior. He's trying to get the girl.
Who is Liz, yep.
And be Spider-Man at the same time.
They're on the same academic
Olympic team or something.
Academic Olympics, yeah. And she's the captain of it. And also... so he has his fat friend Ned.
Mm-hmm. You mean Richard Stanley?
Richard Stanley? Who's Richard Stanley?
You know who Richard Stanley is.
I don't know who Richard Stanley is.
The guy who...
Dick Stanley?
No, the guy who... he always wears the hat. He directed...
The Dust Devil and...
Yes! That's his name, Richard Stanley, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Young, fat Richard, Richard Stanley was a kid.
Dude, the second he put on that hat, I was like, holy fucking shit.
He was wearing that big brown hat. Director Richard Stanley. Okay, so yeah.
He's young Richard Stanley.
I'd buy that.
When I saw that kid, he's a method actor. He's like, you know what? I'm young Richard Stanley in this movie.
But without the accent. Without mm-hmm. the cool accent.
Yeah.
What's the other one with Dermot Mulroney? Where's the Dylan McDermott? Damn it. That's the new Pullman Paxton. Yep. I don't know how that wasn't Pullman Paxton to begin with.
Anyway.
Dylan McDermott, Dermot Mulroney. It was Dermot Mulroney. Dylan McDermott. It's very John Hughes. It's the Breakfast Club, but...
Spider-Man.
But the... what's his name? The nerdy character has superpowers.
Yeah,
Anthony Michael Hall's character.
Yeah, and he's super buff.
He's also... But then... So he's... Then he ends up looking like Emilio Estevez's character. It's a combination of those characters.
Kind of.
Sort of. It's... Cool. Yeah. It's different.
How it is.
As opposed to the other ones, the first one is set in high school. The first one with Tobey Maguire. And when Tobey Maguire did that movie, he was like 48 years old. And then when Andrew Garfield did his, I mean, he was Andrew Garfield was already like 22. But still, how old's Tom Holland? I think he's 20 or 19.
Yeah.
But he looks really young.
Yeah.
Which is good because this is his sophomore year. By the time he does the third one, he's going to be like 25, 26. And he's going to be playing a senior in high school.
18-year-old. That's good enough.
I guess so, yeah. God. I liked him. He was good.
No, he was he's fine as Spider-Man.
He's fine. He's a fine Spider-Man.
You know, I think the spider suit was fun.
The Stark suit?
Yeah, the Stark suit.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And all the things that it can do and the way they hacked into it.
All the things that it can't. Yeah.
All the things that it can't because of the protocols. They went back to organic web shooters. No, to the I guess with the last one too, he had one that he was making, right? So yeah. The organic one was only the original Tobey Maguire one.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know, that was an interesting choice to do.
It was.
And then went back to, but it is all, Peter Parker's also supposed to be extremely smart.
He's yeah, no, and that's.
And that's
yeah.
a major part of what yeah. he does.
Exactly, yes.
So making the web fluid and stuff like that is.
That's right up Peter Parker's alley.
It's a big thing for him. It's a big part of the character. Mm-hmm. It was weird how. That chick Zendaya, mm-hmm. who is some sort of...
Pop star?
Mega star.
Uh-huh. He was...
Well, it's weird. Okay, so the fall of the movie, I feel like... And I kept thinking this throughout the movie. She's in many scenes, mm-hmm. and they keep cutting yeah. to her. Like, she's in the background, or she's yeah. listening, and then she says something snarky. She's a very snarky character.
Her name's Michelle.
No, that's at the end. That doesn't even matter right now. This is... Right throughout them, what I'm saying is throughout the movie, she's always in the background,
yeah.
and she's like talking about real shit or whatever. I don't know.
I'm not obsessed with Peter Parker,
and she's not obsessed with Peter Parker.
I'm just very observant.
Yeah, but she's obviously obsessed with him, right? Parker, okay, yeah. right. So she has like a crush on him, anyway, and she's kind of like disheveled the whole time. But throughout the movie, she's pointless.
Yeah,
she's just in the background, always pointless.
Comic relief,
sort of. Sort of, but it's already Peter Parker's already comic relief. He's a wisecracking dude, and he's got his buddy Ned. He's making jokes. How many more jokes do we need? She's no. just adding another. She's a hat on a hat. She's a sock barrel. She's a sock on a barrel.
She well, unfortunately, she's a big part of the next movie,
which is what I'm saying right here. Okay, so in order to talk about this, we're just going to jump to the end where it's then, like you said,
revealed.
She says that her name is Michelle. Oh,
but everyone calls me MJ.
MJ, as in Mary Jane Watson. So she's Michelle Watson. So they just should have been like changed her first name?
Maybe, I guess.
I don't care about changing the character or who she is or what she looks like or the way she acts or anything like that. But why change your name? Why make a confusing reveal like that?
Don't know.
She's someone different. Is she a different MJ? Maybe. Is another MJ going to show up?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm so confused.
Maybe that was a Sony thing, not a Marvel. I mean, this is...
No, Marvel had creative control.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, Sony just helped put up some money.
Fucking with you.
Yeah, it's weird. And then I feel like it's an awkward reveal for that. And why it's... And then to set up on the next movie. But so throughout the movie, she's pointless, and she's just there in the background. At the end, she's like, "Oh, here's my point."
Big reveal. It's like, "Oh, that's why she was in this movie to begin with."
And that's the kind of shit that I hate when it comes to these type of world building type movies. You know, where it's like we're gonna lay these seeds instead of giving you something satisfying here. There's a lot of things that were like the whole Vulture story is pretty wrapped up. You get the beginning of it. Spider-Man, they battle. He takes them out at the end, goes to prison. It's like, yeah, there could be to be continued because of this prison sentence. He still has a trial, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But it's still a pretty contained story for the most part. It's his sophomore year as Spider-Man. And that one thing pretty much feels like... Well, then the movie also ends with the character cliffhanger, which I'm sure they'll have to pick up in... I don't know. I guess I'll work it out. When Aunt May...
Yeah,
walks in on him wearing the suit.
Yeah,
like he's super careful about it, but then at the very very end,
at the very end, what the?
Yeah, and then it cuts to directed by. It's like, oh, look at that! He almost said the fuck word.
No, they didn't.
In a Spider-Man movie. So it's an awkward. I don't know. It was an awkward use of that character in the reveal and trying to set up something for the. It's like at the end of Batman Begins when he hands him the Joker card and he hands over. It's like that, way clunkier and kind of terrible.
It's like we found this. It's like ooh.
It's like ooh, but instead it's like see what you're doing anyway. Whatever. We'll see how it works out. Spider-Man 2 is supposed to be the beginning of Phase 4 for Marvel.
Okay.
So, I don't know what that means. Also, they got Tom Holland, I think, for 5 movies.
Okay.
He already did... So that's 3 Spider-Mans. He already did a Civil War. Avengers? There's only 2 Avengers coming up. You only got him for 5? I don't see how this works out.
Yeah.
I like the whole Iron Man, Happy Hogan...
Yeah, that was, it's fun to, Spider-Man dynamic. To see Jon Favreau back.
He was in it quite a bit as his, quote, point man, his very annoyed point man.
Exactly.
And, but it's still, like, fucking things up, sort of. Poor Happy Hogan. He always gets it, poor guy, in this. But I also like the whole, like, surrogate father thing that Tony Stark's trying to do. And, you know, the baby. That's two. Oh, so much time was, between those.
It was, whatever.
If you only sneeze twice, what happens now? I forget.
Nothing. 4 times, drink.
If you only sneeze once...
Then I sneeze.
Then you have to... Everyone has to urinate.
Anyway.
You have to expel the little fluids instead of intaking them. The sneezing game. The Drewster sneezing game. Wikipedia. Someone needs to put up a Wikipedia page for the Drewster sneezing game so everyone knows the rules. Oh, I thought you were going to sneeze again. Nope. I liked the whole Iron Man, Spider-Man... mentor dynamic. Thing dynamic that's really good. It was really well done. It had a good character arc from beginning to end. Like, I thought it was well, pretty smartly written in terms of that. Like, it could have been a sloppy piece of shit, but at 2 hours and 15 minutes, while I felt just a little long, I was still, like, engaged the whole time, and I was into it, despite how many times now have I seen a Spider-Man movie since this is the
this is the
sixth one in 12 years. One every 2-3 years now, it averages like out too. I mean, come on, man, how many times do I need to see a kid with the webs and the pew, pew,
no. Apparently a lot.
They had some fun with the webs thing, though. There's that one shot, that wide shot where he, like, he misses and he falls on his face.
No, he does that a couple of times. My other favorite part was when he was running away. And, you know, in order for his web things to work, that's why it works so well in the city. There are lots of high points he can sling from.
All the buildings in New York City. When
he's running on a golf course and he goes to shoot and he realizes there's nothing for him to go on.
Yeah.
And then he just... has to run.
And he has to run through...
Run through a golf course with the sprinklers on.
And he, has to, and he has to run at the speed of a human.
Because
he's just a dude.
Yeah, because he's just a kid. It's fucking hilarious.
And, that was really funny. They
do that a lot, too.
They found a lot of things about Spider-Man and his powers and different things that the suit can do and that he can do. And they play with that in a lot of ways. And it was pretty... they had a lot of fun with it. Interesting how... this movie seems better and just like smarter and a better use of the character than all the other Spider-Man movies in which Marvel Studios had nothing to do with.
Well, it seemed like they tried. I mean,
except for the very first one, yes, Sam Raimi one is pretty dope.
The Spider-Man lore is very rich and very dramatic and very serious, but at the same time,
it's fun too.
It's fun, and it's about kids.
He's a wisecracking kid.
Exactly. This
finding his identity.
So, you know, they needed somebody with the right mindset behind it instead of trying to make all these fucking super serious Spider-Man movies.
Well, if you look at the filmographies of the people behind this one, it's interesting. It's the guy who directed that movie Cop Car with Kevin Bacon, written by the people who co-wrote that Vacation movie, the remake.
Yeah.
Which wasn't very good.
No,
I was like, this doesn't give me hope for Spider-Man. But they got Spider-Man right. Maybe they're just big fans of Spider-Man. Yeah, I don't know. It is a totally different project.
It is.
It's also under the aegis of Kevin Feige and
I was
Marvel.
About to say, there was definitely some oversight with them going, listen, this is the lore.
This is where we're going in this direction, that direction. Star Wars has it. They've had it for a long time. Marvel has it. They have like a library or a council or whatever, people that you go to when you need stuff or you need to know something. It's like, boom, we got it. Yeah. We got your answers. This is where we're going. And the way they like tied it all into the Avengers thing and the building and it works. It works surprisingly well, I think. Yeah. I was really into all that.
Well, and that's another thing that I think we're going to be getting a lot more of now in these Marvel movies is the world. Before, it was world building.
Yeah.
You know, they were building this world. You had to familiarize yourself with it.
Yes.
Now we're in the world.
So now we're just adding
it. It's been built.
Now we're expanding it.
Now we get to fuck around in it.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. It's taken a while.
Yeah.
It's taken a while to get here. Yeah, it's amazing we've even gotten this far.
But that's why we get to get, you know, your fun Spider-Mans, where he's just, you know, basically, it's a tiny little contained story in the aftermath of, you know, what happened.
Mm-hmm. And who he is, and trying to figure out who he is in this one little pony in his life.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it is a relatively small story in comparison. And then the best part about it, my favorite parts of this whole movie, is like, it's him against the Vulture. He's trying to prove to Tony Stark that he can be part of the Avengers, you know, that he wants to belong to a group, to that group, while also trying to fit in with the kids at school, et cetera, et cetera. And shout out to Tony Revolori from Great Budapest Hotel for being an awesome Flash. Yeah, that guy's really fun. I like that dude.
Penis Parker, bro.
Penis Parker.
Hashtag Penis Parker.
That was a surprising that they kept going back to. I was like, this is interesting. Excuse me. And I really like how, so it's him and it's a Vulture, and they're building up to, and then, all right, so I'll be honest, this is when I realized what was going on. There's the whole subpart where he fucks up an FBI raid of a weapons deal, yep. Right? And that's what you see in the trailer, with the boat splitting in half and Iron Man coming to save him. He fucked that shit up. And, which is crazy, which is interesting. And Iron Man's like, I'm taking your shit. Blah, 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 all that stuff. You're grounded. Mm-hmm. He pretty much grounds him.
Basically.
And so it's like a 15-minute stretch of the movie where he's not Spider-Man around, he's like Peter Parker and trying to be like Peter Parker, and I was like, this works. It's part of the reason why the movie's kind of long, but it works though. And he's like, hey, he's talking to Liz, he's finally like, hey, can we be you want to go to the homecoming dance, you know, this movie's called Spider-Man Homecoming, we have to address this part of the title. And she's like, okay, yeah, sure, that makes sense, we should do this.
And then I have to run on Homecoming as soon as I get there.
Yeah, which is great. Which ties into the whole theme of his pull for responsibility and his need, blah, blah, blah. You know, it all works. So he shows up at her house. He's at the door.
That was a great reveal.
That's a great reveal.
And boom! Michael Keaton.
Oh, shit. The Vulture is her dad the whole time. When he was standing at the door, I'm like, something's about to happen. And then when it's like right before the door opens, you just see the door. I thought to myself, what if it's Michael Keaton? And then the door opens, I'm like, no! I was like, that was good.
And my favorite part is when he pulls the fucking gun on him in the homecoming parking
lot.
That
entire scene, yes, that's probably the best sequence of the movie. When the door opens and it's Michael Keaton, he's like, oh shit.
Oh fuck.
And the whole time they're trying to take the pictures
he can't keep his cool. Like Donald Glover said, you need to get better at this part of your job.
Yeah, yeah, he does. he can do all the superhero-y stuff, but there's a lot of other stuff that he needs to get a lot better at. Yeah, it's giving you a lot of room for growth for your character, which is smart. And then in the car, when they start talking and they're just having a conversation, and then Michael Keaton in the front seat, what's his name? Toomey? He's realizing that
because he's hearing the voice.
He's hearing the
voice. And then when his daughter says, Peter knows Spider-Man. And he's part of the Stark thing.
Yes, and he's like, oh.
He's like, oh, he's really?
Like, he's like, oh, yeah, and were you in the elevator? He's like, no, I watched it from the ground. He's like, oh, yeah. It's because you are fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, he knows.
And the whole scene plays out, and the way Michael Keaton plays, you see it on his face and his eyes and everything, the way he looks at him through the mirror and the lighting of all that with, like, the streetlights and stuff. I was like, this is really tense. This is really good. All the way up to, yes, he's like, I'm going to give him the daddy talk, and then he pulls out a gun, and it's not very explicit.
No. He just pulls it out, and it's sitting there. I mean, Peter can't even see it, really.
You can't see it, but everyone knows it's there. And even you as a watching a movie, like, you just see he's holding something, but you know it's a gun. And it's pretty wild how he just sits there and he talks him down. He's like, man, don't mess with me. Don't mess with my family. I'll shoot you. I'll shoot you in the face. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. It would have been crazy if he did, but he didn't say that. And that's definitely for sure. Yeah, I think that was my favorite scene. And then, he has to, like, run out on her, on the daughter, Liz, to chase down Vulture on his, like,
the Padre.
His final, like, mission to steal from Stark himself, from the plane, the whole
thing. Stealing all the good stuff.
Stealing all the goods. And it was all, well done. The whole final scene on the jet with the quote, InvisiJet, the way with the cameras and stuff.
Yeah, the InvisiJet and him with his quote-unquote old-school spider suit.
Yeah, yeah, with the, what's it called? Doesn't it have a name or something? It has some sort of name. Well done. I thought
it looks like the Scarlet Spider. Back in the day.
It's pretty
Spider-Man clone thing that you don't want to talk.
It's a Spider-Man clone.
We're not actually Marvel retconned that and turned it all into a dream.
Oh, okay.
So don't worry about that.
Like, don't worry about that, guys. It's funny. Well, it was all a dream. He used to read Scarlet Magazine.
Scarlet Spider. Yeah.
He was and then the final scene was good. It was good.
Yeah.
was fun.
It was.
I thought the whole MJ thing was handled poorly. I don't see why not, because then it's like, we got to move to Oregon. There goes Liz. It's like, oh, there goes that. And she's like, you got to get your shit together, Peter. And it's like, that's true, Peter. You got to get your shit together, man. And then I was like, all right, this would be a good time for like a new character to walk in. But then what would it
be? Old character.
It's a character that's been there the whole time, but it's just been in the background doing nothing. And then they're like, oh, guys, by the way, it felt, MJ, again, it felt weak. Mm-hmm. That part felt weak. But it's really, in the grand scheme, I mean, what else? What else was negative about it? I like the score. Michael Giacchino did a good score for it.
Yeah.
The action was cool. It looked cool. It was Donald Glover was fun. The whole cast, Hannibal Buress as the gym coach. That was a lot of fun.
Hannibal Buress as the gym coach, way under you. But both Donald Glover.
He's like, I'm pretty sure this guy's a war criminal, but we got to show this video. State says we got to show this video, so here we go.
I think Donald Glover was underused as well.
Yeah, he was only in two scenes. And he was barely in the second scene where he's like, yeah, he's like, you got to get better at this part, man. He's like, hey, man, you got to cut me out of this. It's also 2 hours. You're a criminal. He's like, come on, man. That was fun. That was funny. Then the whole, I like the whole, like, I want to be the guy in the chair. And then at the end, he's like, I'm the guy in the chair. Because he's like, pulling up schematics for
how to turn on lights for a car. In the high school library.
The high school library, yeah.
What are you doing in here? Looking at porn?
There's like moments like that.
Because that is apparently socially acceptable now.
Well, that it was moments like that and the what the f that ends the movie that made it feel like they're trying to. This is like an edgier Spider-Man movie, I think, in terms of what they're showing. I mean, there's like there's some gunplay and.
Just edgier times, bro.
I guess so. I guess it's updated for what's going on, right? But no one dies, like you said. People come close.
Well, Shocker dies. He totally gets vaporized.
Shocker got vaporized.
Didn't mean to get vaporized.
But Michael Keaton was like, "Doe, my bad."
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, I thought that was that. I meant for the anti-gravity gun."
And then Vulture himself, Michael Keaton almost dies at the end, but Parker pulls him out.
Yep, Spider-Man saves him.
Record saves him. And then in the mid-credits scene, he sees dude from Breaking Bad who took the card to the face on the Staten Ferry, and he was all like, "I want to kill him." And and rumor says you know where he is. It's like, I don't know where he is. And then he just
He is, not where he is.
And it's like, I don't know who he is. Yeah. Because I guess he respects him. I think it's because he respects him, but also because he wants to kill him.
Well, A, he wants to kill him himself. Yeah. And B,
out of a matter of respect, it's got. Yeah. He's like, it's got to be me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that, and
he
could
let me die, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And what?
And there is the tie to his daughter. So
yes,
depending on how bad the guy is, depending on how bad he wants to hurt Peter Parker, might end up actually hurting Vulture's family.
Well, it's good that they're going to Oregon. I think they're out of the... They should be out of the picture.
Yeah, exactly.
That was... That was good. That was good.
Yeah, I agree.
I had a lot of fun. There were a couple shots where I was like, oh, yeah, they want you to see this in 3D. But overall, I feel like it's not going to be seen in 3D. Especially the scene at the end on the jet where it was all at night and stuff. Yeah. Like, you don't want to see stuff like that with 3D glasses on and shit like that. Not down for that. Not that Valerian was. That'd come out. I want to see that in 3D.
That whole thing, you know, that whole movie needs to be seen in
3D. That's the 3D. I don't care about anything else in the movie. Just about the 3D. Yeah. Marvel, there you go. Spider-Man Homecoming, right? Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else that stands out to you? Things that were great or blech?
Like I said, that fat kid was Richard Stanley.
Fat kid was Richard Stanley. Mm-hmm. Google director Richard Stanley. Google fat kid from Spider-Man.
So they
put.
I like how they put Lego Star Wars things in the Spider-Man Homecoming movie.
Yeah, they allowed to do that.
Are they going to put Marvel Lego stuff in the Star Wars movies now?
That would be amazing.
Just saying.
That would be amazing. Yoda is playing with a little
Spider-Man.
Lego Spider-Man. Four. And he's like, yeah.
It'd be hilarious. I'm just saying it was an odd product.
That is weird, yeah.
For more Disney stuff.
For more Disney and Lego stuff. No. But Lego's not Disney.
No.
Lego's is their own thing.
Yeah. I'm sure they'd pay plenty of money in licensing fees.
Yeah, for this movie, $100 million opening weekend, something around that, something like that. I don't know. We'll find out when we do the normal show and give the spoiler review. So, yeah, Spider-Man. All right, there we go. Thanks, Drew.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, people, for downloading and listening. We'll be back with episode 235 right after this, or if you're listening to these backwards or out of order, it doesn't matter. It's a podcast. That's fine. It could, for all we know, it could be the year 2019 when people are listening to this. And like, what do these guys think of Spider-Man?
That's a long time from now.
It is. You think so?
future.
You think so? But yeah, it is. Okay, we'll never get there.
I hope not.
All right, Ryder.